Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back Jesus Cifante. Welcome back, Jesus.
Oh, thank you very much. It's the third time I'm here with you in the last 2 years, I guess, and it's always a pleasure to be with you to share experiences with your wonderful audience.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So for those that may not be familiar with you, we're definitely going to put links to the past shows that you've been on so they can access those. We talked about predictive maintenance in the past. We talked about RCMR, or Reliability-Centered Maintenance Reengineered, a book you co-authored. You're also the founder of PDM Tech USA. Although that was a super brief intro, what can you tell us about yourself?
Well, I can tell you that I started my MRE career some years back. It was back in 1991 with Bristol Myers. And in that time, I had the opportunity to start a predictive maintenance program and with vibration analysis, ultrasound, infrared inspection, and oil analysis. In those times, when you said predictive maintenance, people corrected you, say, oh, young boy, it is not predictive. It is preventive, what you're referring to. And in these days, it was kind of tough, you know, to speak about PD, predictive maintenance. Many people didn't know it even existed. But nowadays, people are more educated on the terms, at least. So I started my career with predictive maintenance and preventive maintenance, and stayed working for the pharmaceutical industry as a maintenance and reliability engineer for some 12 years. And after that time, I started working with PDM Tech in Puerto Rico, and later on here in Canada, in Toronto. So I've been involved in maintenance and reliability for almost 30 years now.
All right. So over those 30 years, you've gathered some amazing experiences. You've seen what may work, what may not work. And what we specifically want to talk about today is, how do organizations take that leap and start a vibration program? Although vibration's been around for a very long time, you know, many organizations still don't use it. So what exactly is vibration analysis to begin with?
Okay, let's clarify what is vibration analysis within the predictive maintenance context. Because, we are referring to vibration produced by machinery, but mainly by rotating machinery. There are other analyses that can be done with vibration, for example, other than predictive. You can do transit and construction-induced vibrations that has, you know, they have to some impact in sensitive structures like historic buildings and bridges, and those are studies that you can do. Also, you can do studies on vibration produced by storms or earthquakes, and those are analyzed by structural engineering. But right now, we are ruling out those other analyses, and we are concentrating our topic on machinery vibration, which is the study of the behavior of rotating machinery for detecting faults based on monitoring and trending vibration signals produced by its components. You know that all rotating machinery, they produce vibration. Even good or bad, they will all vibrate. And how do we know that there is a problem with that vibration? So a vibration analysis can help you to determine whether the machinery vibration is normal or it is not. And it can help you to detect faults early enough to plan repairs at convenient moments, avoiding costly plant shutdowns. So the purpose of vibration analysis within the predictive maintenance context is to determine machine's health while it is operating.
All right, excellent. So we use it to determine machine health, use it to determine when we should do some corrective actions. What would tell an organization that they should be using vibration? Is it the type of assets they have, number of failures, types of failures? What tells organizations maybe they should consider vibration?
Basically, if you are an organization or you work for an organization that has critical rotating machinery, you will need vibration analysis. So I say critical rotating machinery because those machines, they have failures that can severely impact the organization's economic and non-economic goals. So notice, James, that I'm not saying big or massive or heavy rotating equipment. I'm just saying critical rotating machinery. So these critical machineries can be identified as such by an asset criticality analysis process. And you know, those rotating equipment are very important for these companies to achieve their goals. And those are the candidates for the vibration analysis. So what triggers really is the type of machinery you have and the importance of those, the relevance of those machinery for attaining your goals.
All right. So the type of equipment, how critical that equipment is it even worth investing money into? All those things are the things we need to answer that might indicate if we should be looking at vibration.
That's right. And by rotating machinery, so, you know, it is a general term that you use in many industries that describe mechanical components that use kinetic energy to move fluids, gases, and other processes, materials like, for example, engines, compressors, turbines, pumps, generators, blowers. We're referring to that kind of machinery.
All right. Excellent. Now, what considerations do organizations need to think about before launching a vibration program?
Yeah, as I already said, equipment criticality is very important. You know, companies should know the relevance of their machines, how important they are, and an equipment can be critical because, you know, it can stall a process. It can start. Also, their failures could be very expensive when they occur, even if they stop process or not. And companies should do some analysis to determine that. There are failure mode effect analysis to identify critical failure events, because vibration analysis should be targeting specific failure modes, specific failure events, and those can be identified in a FMEA or even in an RCM analysis. Budget, cost benefit analysis, those are considerations that companies should go through and before starting their analysis, and also understand the skills and knowledge that their people have. Do they have the necessary skills and knowledge on vibration analysis to start a program? So how is my knowledge on vibration analysis, my people? Is it less than basic? Then I will go for an external contractor that has the capabilities. If we are, you know, so basic to intermediate, then let's try to do it ourselves, but with the help of a contractor and so forth. So basically, equipment criticality, FMEA, RCM analysis would tell us what problems to identify with vibration analysis, budget, and people skills.
All right. Excellent. Now, how important is it for training prior to vibration? Now, this is assuming that we're going to implement it ourselves and not use a contractor. How important is training? Can we just buy the equipment, hand it out, and expect results?
Not at all. Training is the backbone of a successful vibration analysis program. Little or no training will hinder companies to attaining optimal results. Not only that, it will also expose them to critical failures, even with possessing a vibration instrument. That doesn't warrant any success. So training is vital. It's very important. There are many levels of analysis. And there are also many aspects of the vibration work. Each of them requires a certain level of knowledge.
All right. Excellent. So training is absolutely vital. Now we have criticality. We've done an FMEA or RCM event. We've trained some people. where do we start their program? Is it one small area? Is it a couple pieces of equipment? Do we roll out across an entire plant? Where and how do we start this?
You know what? Common sense plays a very important role in any effort. So I would recommend running a pilot program with critical rotating machinery in a specific area. As we said already, if you don't have the expertise, contract somebody, some company that does it for you. So make sure that whoever is running your program, if it is yourself or somebody else, have the necessary training competences and also practices. For example, if people that are going to collect data, people don't think about this, but they must be certified guys. You know, it is not a matter of pushing buttons off, on and off and just taking data. Those people need to know how the good data collection practices. There are people also analyzing data that they have to be, further training, at least a CAT tool. These people need to understand how to configure the analyzers. These equipment are not easy to configure unless you have been already trained. And they must have machinery fault diagnostic experience. And that's something that you gather require with time. And for troubleshooters and people that want to do more advanced analysis, they must be at least a category 3 and have some years of experience doing phase analysis and other high frequency demodulation resonant testing. So make sure that the people that are running your program or starting your program have the knowledge for the work they intend to do.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. So we take a common sense approach. We make sure we have the right skills to support what we're trying to do, whether it's the data collection, the analysis, all those things. Now, you mentioned something there where around the data collection piece, the analyzers. How do we choose the right analyzer? There's lots out there, many manufacturers, many different features and all these things. How do we choose the right one?
Well, it chiefly depends on the machinery characteristics and criticality. And for example, if you want to do analysis to low critical machinery that have some impact, I will say little impact on company goals, they may be assessed with overall meters. So these machines failure are not significant, and maybe it is not cost-wise, it would not be effective. It would not be cost-effective to implement or to acquire an expensive data collector for that. But for highly equipment machinery, you must acquire an FFT analyzer. There are lots out there. And, you know, an equipment that is capable of displaying all types of signals, like wave type signal, waveform signals, spectrum, and also other more advanced signals. So you may have some choice of equipment out there, but make sure you have an equipment that enables a software that enables your team to pinpoint incipient problems, you know, and do advanced analysis. And there is also a lot of transducers out there that you have a choice of transducers as well, not only software and data collector. And that will depend mainly on the bearing type, operating temperatures, RPMs of the machines, and access to data collection. So there's a couple of factors that out there that depending on the circumstances of your machinery and your budget constraints also is another thing. So, but I will say if your equipment is really critical, go for a high-end vibration analyzer, and for sure the return of investment will be quick. You will be able to detect a lot of incipient failures that with time will become critical.
All right, excellent. So some great words of wisdom on how we select our analyzers. This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Now, one of the questions that comes up often as well is, should we outsource our vibration program? Should we keep it internal? How do organizations determine if they should outsource that program?
You know, things are changing, and nowadays companies tend to have less on health and less internal personnel. So if you don't have too many people in your department and you lack resources, maybe contracting will be cost effective or will be adequate for you. But if you have the personnel that you can train for it, you can go ahead and implement it yourself. Well, it takes time. Now, at the beginning, if you are zero experience, you have zero vibration experience, you will have to contract the program. And later on, you will be able to take over it, some parts of it first, and then the whole program. So consider that in vibration analysis, there are three important roles. The first one is data collection. If you decide to contract part of the program, maybe you can do the data collection to start. Your people will need to be trained as level one vibration analysts, and they will be able to collect very good data. Also, data analysis and report generation, which is a second level of expertise. And then you have a program administrator, which is the person that makes sure that all routes are done on time, follow up with the repair recommendations, and so forth. So yes, programs can be contracted. There are a lot of good contractors out there. Always verify qualifications for your contractor and make sure that they have the expertise that you need to run a successful program.
All right. Excellent. So there's some major considerations on whether we outsource or insource, resources, level of skill we're going to invest or develop internally, all those different things. Now, what other software or equipment or other considerations do organizations need to think of when they're going to implement vibration?
Well, a vibration program needs, as we said, training, and also need equipment. And when we say equipment, there are a couple of things involved here. You will need, as we already said, a data collector. And those data collectors, they are tied to software, analysis software. So, and many companies, they don't devote the time to understand the software very well. And there are very advanced software that can render precise diagnosis and also maintenance recommendations automatically. So taking the most out of your software is vital for optimal results. And I always tell maintenance people that successful vibration analysis program need to be coupled with good maintenance practices, good repair practices, and precision maintenance. So good lubrication practices, rotor balancing, shaft laser alignment are all components of a good vibration program. So other than the software, there are some practices that have to be out there. There must be training out there on precision maintenance and lubrication and all that, just to be successful. You can imagine, James, that we can detect all the problems out there, and then we don't understand how to repair them and how to correct them. So we will be like super detectors, and we will be like detecting problems on time, but we wouldn't be able to make those problems disappear or to extend the useful life of our equipment if we don't have these other practices that are very important to be used in conjunction with any predictive maintenance technique.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Now, once we've sorted all of this out, what are the steps that we were going to use to implement vibration analysis? Is it, you know, identify if we're going to do it internally first, train, buy the analyzer? What's the steps in a nice, simple, easy format?
Okay, of course, there has to be a master plan to establish how the program is going to be implemented. We need there is budget involved, there is capital expenditure involved. But, you know, at the end, there are some main steps that we need to do. The order of the steps depend on the mode of the program. If you are running the program by yourself and you have experience, the order might be a little bit different, but you always have to select machinery for analysis. That's step one. So let's make sure that we need vibration analysis, because many things vibrate and they don't need to be analyzed by vibration analysis. So that's the first one. Secondly, assess your people training. Make sure that your people have the training. If not, provide such training. So some people might need to be level 1, level 2, level 3, but you need all levels of expertise to be able to be successful with your vibration analysis program. At some point, you will have to acquire your hardware and software. By doing so, not only listen to vendors, so do some search, and I would recommend if the company doesn't have the expertise, have some person that is that doesn't represent any brand that can help you to select the equipment. Contract that part so you can select an equipment. That piece of equipment is going to be an investment, and if you don't do it very well, so you might regret later on. So once you do that, you have your machine selected already, you have your people trained, you acquire your equipment. So you are ready to start doing the work. So first of all, you need to gather technical information from each individual machines. You know, vibration is about understanding the vibration sources of rotating equipment. So we need to understand perfectly what that machine does, what are its internal components, the speeds, and many other information that makes us understand the vibration sources. So you need to do that for every piece of equipment. Then the other part is you need to establish test conditions. So repeatability is something very important, not only in vibration analysis, but in every PDM technique. We need to make sure that conditions are similar every time we do the analysis, we take the data. Then set up machine tests and routes in the data collection. Make sure that you have the appropriate frequency. You may need to do maybe some calculations to understand what kind of frequency you need for every piece of machine. And then you need to analyze data and produce recommendation reports, carry out repairs and adjustments, and so forth. That's kind of a cycle. But so those are like the main steps that you will have to go through when you to implement a vibration analysis
program. All right, excellent. Now, with all those steps being in place, obviously there's certain things that generally hold organizations up. So what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful when launching that vibration program? What is the one thing organizations don't do well or they forget about? What's that one thing that makes the biggest difference?
Okay. We need well-trained and dedicated sources. We already stress a lot. We already emphasize a lot in training. Now I will add dedication. Sometimes we have had the opportunity to do some program audits. We have been out there in the field and say, hey, Jesus, I need to audit my vibration program or my PDM program to see how well we are doing. And sometimes we found that there is some lack of discipline. Rather than lack of knowledge or skills, people do have skills of the knowledge, but companies don't have the discipline to keep people doing the predictive work. So it is tempting, you know, to divert TDM resources to do firefighting maintenance or to do other things and stopping the program from collecting and analyzing their needed data, you know, also disables the finding of incipient failures and that may become devastating later on. So people don't see that. So discipline is a very important aspect of predictive maintenance, and successful PDM programs have well-trained and dedicated resources. So dedication, dedicated people, let's have the PDM program running all the time. Don't stop it. Don't take out your predictive people to do other stuff. You know, sometimes we need to do it once in a while, but let that not become, you know,
the norm. Excellent. Excellent. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today around starting a vibration program?
Well, I will tell that vibration analysis is one of the most powerful tools that will let you, you know, any organization extend your rotating equipment uptime and useful life. And however, implementing it correctly encompasses both strategic and operational activities. So there are very strategic parts of implementation and also operational that have to be carried out correctly to be successful. As we have said already, from selecting machines to vibration analysis, all the way to choosing the right combination of software, data collection, and transducers, and enhancing your people knowledge to perform it are all critical steps needed to be undertaken, you know, to warrant success. So make sure you have the knowledge of all this process, or at least that you count with somebody that has that knowledge, and it will make a lot of difference in your program.
All right, excellent. Now, Jesus, you provided a tremendous amount of insight to starting these vibration programs in place. You know, I want to thank you for doing that, because every time I talk to you, I learn something from you. You help me grow my understanding of this topic. Now, where can people find out more about you, PDM Tech, if they want to get in touch with you? How do they do all those things?
Okay, we have some websites out there, pdmtechusa.com and also consciousreliability.com. One is dedicated to services, the other is dedicated to teaching. And we are very involved with PMAC here in Canada, especially with the GTA's chapter, as a member of the leadership team, together with some awesome colleagues, and we organize both technical and social activities. So I can be found here and with PMAC, through PMAC. Also, we participate frequently in many conferences out there in North America and Latin America. And the best way to reach us is through our info resources in our websites. And there you will find our telephone information.
Excellent. I will make sure to put links to all those in the show notes. Hopefully, I'll make it out to Main Train this year so we can catch up, chat some more. That'd definitely be good. Now, when you think about vibration, what is that go-to resource that comes to mind? Is it a book? Is it a website? What is that go-to resource for people that are looking to learn more about this?
Well, in general, there is a resource that I go to many times and I enjoy accessing. I think you have heard about it. It's Accendo Reliability.
Yes, yes.
Have you heard about
that one? Contributed to them a few times.
Okay, there is a lot of technical information in general you can find about vibration. There is a book, and now I'm recalling a very good resource that I use very often, written by Glenn White, Machinery Vibration. That's a very good source of information for people starting, you know, into the vibration world. And there is another book, Introduction to Predictive Maintenance by Keith Mobley. It has been out there for a couple of decades already. It was one of my very first guides when I started in my predictive maintenance career some years back. And those are resources that will let you know how to implement a predictive maintenance program in general. And, you know, of course, the Glenn White book will give you some insights on,
all right, on excellent. The evaluation. So I have read the Intro to PDM book. I've been through that. It's a great intro to all the different technologies. How do you structure these things? But I haven't read the one by Glenn White. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely something I will have to put, I'll have to look into.
Oh, excellent. Good. And who knows in the future, James, maybe you and I can write something with our experiences on vibration analysis and PDM. So we can share some.
Absolutely. Some we can definitely look at doing that in the future. I would look forward to it. All right. Well, Jesus, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about all this. I'm sure our listeners learned more about the topic of vibration, how to implement, how to do all these things. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you, James.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.